1 Corinthians chapter 4, just a few moments tonight. Since you lost an hour, I'll try to give you a little bit of change back today, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, just a few moments. Let's gather, just work our way through these verses, and I'll stop in just a few moments wherever we are. Verse number 8 says, now you're full. Now you're rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God had set forth us as apostles last, as we were appointed to death. For we have made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ, but you're wise in Christ. We are weak, but you're strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even under this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Let the church say amen. Father, I pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. How to view ministry. Moreover, not just how to view ministry, but how to view ministers. Those laboring in the work of God. I mean, we thought this was a problem in 1 Corinthians. If only Paul could see how big of a problem it is now. How people struggle with really understanding the biblical characterization of men of God, of workers involved in ministry. How we have idolized men, worshiped men. How men have called for honor to be bestowed upon them that supersedes even the honor we give to God. The day and age of bodyguards and private jets. Those who stand when we walk past their row and almost bow down to us before they've even learned how to bow down to God. And that people are so impressed by this that they're often blinded to the truth. They are so busy chasing after the rhetoric of a human being that they can't even spot their responsibility as children of God. And the result of that is division after division. People begin to draw the line on who they are and who is not with them based on with whom they're connected. I am of this guy. I follow this person's teaching. I've been discipled by this philosophy. I espouse to this ideology, failing to realize that none of us get into the family of God except we go through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are creating more and more divisions. Let me just throw this in there. It wasn't in my notes and not in my plans, but I would submit to you, if there weren't so many men that wanted glory, we wouldn't have so many different versions of the Bible either. And it is less about making the Bible clearly understood and more about making a more dollar off of people that would buy it. The key to understanding the Bible is not creating a version that is more elementary. The key to understanding the Bible is letting the Holy Spirit of God open your eyes so that the spiritual things of God, and I can prove it to you, some of the most uneducated people I've ever met are the wisest people when it comes to the Word of God, and some of the people that have the most vast education in secularism can't understand John 3:16. It's a spiritual thing. God has to do it. God wrote it. And God opened your eyes. And Paul prayed for the church of Ephesians that the eyes of your understanding would be open. That's not open at an institution. That's not open by a professor. That's not open by a certification. That's not open by a degree. Those eyes can only be opened by the God who put them there in the first place. You, my friend, don't need more of a better version. You need more of a yieldedness to the Spirit of God. No question about it. And so Paul dove into this because they were so hung up on people. Paul wanted to teach them how to view those people. So this is what this whole chapter is about. The right classification, they're stewards and servants. The real criterion, they're not required to be impressive to you. They're required to be faithful to God. The recognized conclusions that you're going to judge me and that's okay. I could try to judge me and I'm really not good at it. So the truth of the matter is, I'm not worried about what you say. I don't believe what I say, but I know one day I'm going to see what he says. I can't judge me. I'm not going to be mad that you judge me because judging is instinct. But I'm telling you, I'm not living for what you think. I'm not living based on what I think. I'm living for because one day I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The resulting caution is therefore that I will wait with constraint. I will not judge people prematurely. Understanding that God handles that department and he is not looking for help. Please don't miss that just because I said it so quietly. Sometimes you're more effective at just saying things without really screaming them. They sink in a little bit better. I've been in churches, I was screaming, they were screaming, and neither one of us knew what each other was saying. The louder I got, the louder I got. And I wanted to say to myself, I could be cussing. Y'all be saying amen. I want you to amen me, but I want you to know what you're amening. Don't shout amen just because I said it. Shout amen because I'm saying what God said. Amen. And I've known a lot of churches that were amen a bunch of nonsense. They've never checked the pastor, and the pastor's never checked his own self. Amen. You know, he's not right just because he's standing up there. He's right because he stood before God. And he's gotten something that he came up with, something God gave him. God's not interested in bakers. He's interested in distributors. I didn't come up and whip up anything. God whipped it up, and it's my job to deliver it the same way God gave it to me. In the day and age where we have more manufacturers than we have distributors, I would mind you to be very cautious about whom you allow to impact your life. Because you let anybody in, there's no telling what will come out. So I'm cautious. Last week we learned about some reasonable considerations, and this is where I'd like to finish up this week for just a few moments. Some considerations. He makes a very intentional point. I'm going to take the names that really apply to these issues in the church at Corinth, Paul said, and I'm going to use Apollos and me. We're not guilty of these issues that I'm dealing with. But I'm going to use us as examples to take your eyes off of specific situations so that perhaps you can really hear the truth. You are talking about I'm of him, I'm of him. And the truth of the matter is you have divided yourself based on who you're following when the two people that you're following don't even have problems with each other. Are you listening? You're in Apollos' group and you're in Paul's group. And the truth of the matter is y'all are divided when Apollos and Paul are united. Be careful when you start claiming your loyalty to a person as a reason to divide from somebody else when the two people that you're talking about aren't even divided themselves. We have created, you know, the flesh longs for disunity. The flesh longs for arguments and friction. You know why? Only by pride cometh contention. Let me tell you something. Anytime you're looking for a fight, you're not living in the Spirit. The important purpose, he said, I want you to learn not to think of men above that which is written, not to hold men of God to a higher standard than even the Bible does. And then he makes an interrogative provocation in verse number 7 that we spoke about last week. Who maketh thee to differ from another? We spent a lot of time last week talking about diversity and understanding that the reason why we are diverse is because God made us different. Our recognized status, our received substance, not only who made you different, but who gave you what you received. And do you have anything that wasn't given to you? Let's ask Job. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. I hate to bust your bubble. You didn't come to this world with anything, and you ain't going to leave with nothing. But everything you get between when you arrived and when you leave, God gave it to you. So here's what he's saying. Who made you different? God did. Who gave you what you received? God did. So if God made you different, and everything you had you got from God, then what in the world are you bragging about? The interrogative provocation. And then in verse number 8, as we move on tonight, I'm going to look at intense pride. I was listening to a song a few moments ago, and I thought when I was reading this verse, how applicable. Now you're full. Now you're rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And please understand that Paul's kind of speaking in jest with them. He's almost looking at Church Corinth and saying, y'all think y'all got it. You all are rich. You all are full. You all are so stuck on yourselves. Reigned as kings without us. Here's what he's saying. Here's what pride has done you. It has given you a self-sufficient indulgence. You're around there chasing everything for yourself. It's given you a satisfied independence. Here's what he's saying, Corinth. You think you don't need anybody. You are so full of yourself. You think, watch this now, you are rich without us. Watch this now. You've gotten so good at being you, you don't even need preachers anymore. Wow. You're kings. You're royalty. Are you listening to me? And he says, you become kings without us. By the way, there's coming a day when at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I said, and every tongue should confess. Now listen to me. When Paul says that in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, there's coming a day, that day hasn't happened yet. Right now, Jesus is sitting at the what? Right hand of the throne of God. But there's coming a day in the millennial reign, he ain't going to sit at the right hand, he's sitting on the throne. And by the way, we're going to rule and reign with him, and we're going to bow down. When you read the book of the Revelation, when everybody's bowing down, salvation and honor and glory and blessing and power and dominion be unto thee for now and forever. Amen. There's coming a day he's going to be crowned King of Kings. That hasn't happened yet. Now listen to me. He is the King of Kings, but there's coming a day he will be crowned the King. And Paul's looking at them saying, you got your crown before Jesus even got his. And here's what he's saying. When a church is full of people full of pride, they have elevated themselves to a throne before Jesus even sat on it. And then he kind of says, my sincere desire, if you would, sincere indication, is that I wish I was rich with you. I wish I reigned with you. I wish you reigned so that I might reign. And here's what he's saying. You all are so full of yourself. I mean, you're sitting on thrones. Truth be told, I wish I could sit on there with you, but I'm just not on your level. Intense pride. Let me give you this and I'm done. It goes beyond the real reasonable consideration to giving them what I call a realistic conveyance. He's kind of speaking in jest and conjecture in verse number 8. And in verse number 9, it's almost as if he says, let me give you the real. Let me tell you how it really is. I think that God have set forth us, the apostles, last. Here's what he's saying. Y'all up there talking about, ooh, I'm with Paul. Ooh, I'm with Apollos. I'm with Cephas. He said, y'all are crazy. We're at the bottom of the list. We're not at the top. You're worshiping people who are below you. God, listen to me. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires the good work. By the way, we ought to honor whom honor is due. Don't you believe that? But he says, when it really comes theoretically to where men of God are in the world, they're not treated at the top. They're treated at the bottom. He said they're really their actual status is that they're at the bottom of the totem pole. Notice their apparent spectacle. We have been made, he says, appointed to death. In those days, you know who was getting killed? Preachers. They weren't getting paraded through the town and people fanning them with fruits and bands. No, let me tell you something. They were being spectacles. The word comes in the Greek word theatron. It's where we get the word theater. Watch this now. We were made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. He said, it's almost like you've taken this big amphitheater with a bunch of fans, thrown the prophets and the apostles in the middle while all of them watch us being devoured by lions. We're a spectacle. Hey, watch this now. Here's what he's saying. While you're worshiping men, please understand those very men are being watched by others as they're devoured. He's trying to bring them down to level. You really want to crown people higher than you crown Jesus? Wow. Their actual status, their apparent spectacle. Notice Paul's applied sarcasm, and I'll close here. We're fools, y'all. Why? We're the fools. We're the ones get called dummies. Remember, he was preaching to a church full of people that were full of themselves. And so sarcastically, he says to them, you are more interested in the humans you're associated with than the Christ that saved you. Let me tell you about those men of God. To the world, they're fools. While you're wise. We're weak while you're strong. You're honorable while we're despised. The adverse suffering to which they face. Even in this present hour, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we're naked, we're buffeted. We have no dwelling place. Listen to me now. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. Paul said, I don't even know where I'm sleeping tonight. And you're trying to tell everybody to categorize you by the man you're following, and the man you're following is running for his life. You know where I'm sleeping. You're sleeping comfortably, and I don't even know if I'm going to make it to bed tonight. I'm laboring. I'm buffeted. He says, I'm working with my hands. I'm reviled, and yet I bless. I'm persecuted, and yet I suffer. I'm defamed, and yet I entreat. Even though they keep running me down, I keep coming back to them. I'm made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of things until this day. Hey, let me tell you something. You're bragging on who the preacher is that you follow. That preacher is going through it for living for God. He's not complaining. He's saying to them, you all have the wrong understanding of ministry. Yeah. And here we are, nearly a couple thousand years later, not quite. It's gotten worse. We've come up with new titles for preachers. We've given those titles to people that aren't even qualified. We've lowered the bar and standard of preaching. We've created acceptable practices of preaching that aren't even preaching. And we go into churches where an hour of noise has substituted a few moments of substance. And now you've got all these people who will go around Facebook and go around their neighborhoods and go around their job and say, I'm a member of such and such. We're Bishop so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so, pastors. And think that that puts them on the map, when the truth of the matter is what Reverend or Bishop or Sister so-and-so is saying doesn't come out the book. Somebody help me preach. Like the old folks used to say, you better sit down somewhere under the word of God. And he's not telling you to look down on preachers. He's just telling, don't look at preachers and look past Jesus. Because if you pass him on your way to them, you've got the two out of order. And I'm convinced, I'm finished, close your Bible. I'm convinced in these last days, I'm not a prophet, but I'm speaking, I believe, intellectually and from an informed perspective in these last days. I believe more and more at Crossroads Baptist Church, we are going to be God's safety net to catch people who have been churched for years in institutions where they went, where they served, where they led, and where they thought they were being fed, only to find out they were being cheated and manipulated. And may God help us to stand in our place so when they land in here, they land at a never-ending flow of biblical substance that produces in them spiritual maturity that will translate into victorious Christian living. I am not interested in getting someone to come here three times a week so that they can only go to the job and say, I'm a member of Crossroads Baptist Church where Dr. Kenny Baldwin is the pastor. I'm glad they say it, but I'd rather them say to the devil, I'm a member of the family of God. I attend Crossroads Baptist Church where I'm armed with the word of God. So you are barking up the wrong tree, bucko, because just as Jesus ran you off in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, I'll run you off the same way. It won't be with the preacher's name, with my mama's name, with my position in the church, with the song I sing, with a bunch of emotionalism. I'll tell you what Jesus told the devil, it worked then and it works now. It is written. That's what Paul is saying. And that's what I'm saying too. There is nothing in the world that supersedes the ministry of the Word of God. And those that are ministering it should never be held in higher esteem than the God that wrote it in the first place. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for truth. I cannot begin to possibly convey how burdened I am at how demoted truth has become and how elevated personalities and pizzazz and pomp and circumstance have become. No wonder Corinth was divided. It was the truth of God's word that had established them from the beginning. Now they had lost focus and instead looked at the servant instead of the substance. May we not be guilty of the same glaring mistake. In Jesus' name.